It's 1 o'clock on the West Coast. It is Hug Nation time. Whenever you are hearing that, whether live, archive, whether it is an alien broadcast receiving this, although it's chronologically significantly in the future, so hello. We don't all have pink hair. Actually, I should talk to the camera if you're receiving the broadcast. We don't all have pink hair. I'm also a little under the weather, so don't judge me or my race according to how I speak and act today. You'll have to judge my race for a lot of other things, but anyway, let me get back on track. Before we get too deep, let's get present. Take a moment to fall into the now. Without comparisons of past or future, the now is perfect. Whatever condition your health is in is perfect. Whatever your body is doing and not doing and receiving is perfect. Letting go of the story, allowing the vibration of this present moment to fill us, to see it as a gift. Allow deeper, truer, more source vibrations to fill us, guide us, and bring us joy, so that we may bring joy to the world. Amen. Welcome! It is July 24th, 2012, and it is time for a Hug Nation and another Belief Buffet. Sample it. If it tastes good, swallow, chew, research, and find some more. If it doesn't taste too good, spit that out. This is a buffet. So, a couple things I'm going to try to address today. The intro meditation, I was focusing on the perfectness of body and health in this present moment, because that is something that I have been focusing on over the last week. I feel so grateful that when game day came and I delivered my TEDx talk, my health was perfect. I felt great. All things were not just perfect, but optimal. In a timeline of my health, I was peaking and feeling great. Right afterwards, my body went, exhale, and got a little bit of a cold. I sprained my finger or possibly fractured, seeing the doctor tomorrow. And then a couple days ago, I got myself some pink eye. You know, if you're going to get a color eye, at least it matches. Although, truthfully, it's a little bit more reddish and not nearly as attractive as the rest of my pink accessories. Point is, if I can slip into the now and just recognize that this is what I have to work with, it's all good. Okay. One thing that I wanted to talk about this week is kind of an extension on forgiveness and letting things go, and actually a couple of types of letting things go, but one in particular. I was talking with a friend who has struggled a lot about some anger they have about their family, and they finally went through the process of, and you know, they were really hoping that they could get an apology, or they wanted to have a big kind of like family meeting and talk some things out that happened as they were growing up, and just kind of, you know, this. They really wanted to be understood, and finally decided that, came to a place of, what if I just let this go? And ended up allowing themselves to have these incredible deep bonding conversations with their parents. Conversations that in the past, as they were holding on to this anger, they stopped. Or even as they're happening, they didn't let themselves be happy or didn't let themselves enjoy it and kept this distance. And I just was listening to this amazing lecture by Jacob Glass, where he's talking about some elements of A Course in Miracles, and it all like made sense. Like what he was, I was like, this is exactly what my friend was going through. And what the course was talking about is that often we hold on to our story of being wronged or guilt, because we feel like if we let it go, we're saying that it's okay what they did. We're forgiving them, And we don't want to acknowledge that that's okay. We want to hold on to the belief that it isn't okay. In fact, it goes so far as to say that subconsciously, if we allow ourselves to be truly happy, it negates their guilt. And we're so hung up on them being guilty that we say, no, 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 I am affected. I have pain and suffering and issues because of what you did. And therefore, I have to stay in this place of frustration, of challenges, of struggles, because if I am truly happy, because we live in a world of cause and effect, that means you didn't do anything wrong. And so we force ourselves on a subconscious level to stay attached to the belief that we are flawed, we are broken, we are victims, we have these things that we have to deal with for our entire lives as a way of punishing those that have done it to us, because we need to identify them as wrongdoers. I heard that and I was like, wow! That is so huge. I think on an intellectual level, we know, you know, we've heard the Buddha say something like, you know, holding on to anger is like holding on to a hot coal, or, you know, drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies. You know, that anger and being holding on to resentment towards another person does not hurt them at all. It only hurts us. And sometimes people get caught up because they feel like the act of forgiveness is something that you do. You go, I am going to become such a righteous, high path person. I am going to become so evolved that I'm going to try to forgive you for what you've done. And we think that it's a gift to them. You're welcome. I have taken the high road and forgiven you. That's totally wrong. It may be part of what you're thinking, but forgiveness is not an act unto them. Forgiveness is a gift unto you. It is letting go of the burning hot coal that you're trying to hold. It is letting go of the identity of sufferer, of victim, because you need that to keep the anger at them. Forgiveness allows you then, I can now be joyous. I can be perfect. I can be totally happy. I don't have to hold on to that feeling like that anger, because, and you cannot, if you're a bad person, you must have affected me in some way to make me angry. Is that making sense? To me, this was like revelatory. It makes sense to me, but as I identify it, of course. Sometimes people say, oh, if you want to be happy, just decide to be. And of course, that is way harder than it sounds. It's absolutely easy as anything and as impossible as can be. One of the reasons why it's so hard is because if we decide to be happy, it means that we, at some level, we've forgiven everyone that's wronged us. We've let go of all of the things that have been done to us that we have any sort of anger about. Because we're saying, if I'm totally happy, you cannot affect me. My friend, after they had this incredible talk, they were really struggling because they're like, I'm so happy. And I'm struggling because on some level I want to reserve the right to still be angry at my family. You know, right now I feel so good, I don't care. But the truth is, I'm not totally over it. That's okay. And you can go back to that anger, but what a liberating thing to say, it may or may not, I do not have to be the result of those things. I can choose in this moment. I can still be I could be tortured my whole life and decide in this moment, I'm supremely happy. And that doesn't mean, oh, the torturer is off the hook. It just means that you have totally, in this moment at least, embraced the power you have over your own thoughts. You've disciplined yourself and recognized that you are in control. No circumstance can determine it, only your thoughts about it. Choosing that happiness, choosing that joy, sometimes is impeded by those connections that we have. And you know, as I'm saying this out loud, I'm hoping for myself and for all of us to go, oh, I don't need to be the evidence of your wrongdoing. I need to be the evidence of my power of self-control, my power of self-steering. Not even that, my power of surrendering to joy. I think more often that there is a truly natural divine desire for us to be happy. And we say, whoa, if I let go of all of these ego thoughts and all of this guilt and all this anger, you know, like I said, I'll forgive those things. But if we truly trust, if we truly surrender, that is a victory on a whole nother level. Again, easier said than done. But just recognizing it and seeing it can be part of the practice. Kaki says, can't forgiveness be a gift to yourself and the other person? Yes, but in many ways, what I think it's a better use of your resources and energy to focus on you. You really have no control over the way they act towards your forgiveness. You know, so you can give it to them as a gift, but their response is totally up to them. You are in control of the way you respond to things. You're in control of the way you take your patterns, take your story, and decide, I'm no longer defining myself by the story. I'm going to tell the story differently. And doing that doesn't, again, condone anything in the past. It instead elevates the present for me. Another type of letting go that someone asked me about this weekend, and this is a different one. I'm talking about this letting go that we're talking about right now is kind of the letting go of anger, the letting go of resentment or feeling that you've been wronged. And you know, there's the quote from A Course in Miracles that I say all the time of, like, you know, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And that simple line can snap you out of suffering so often. When you're feeling that righteous indignation of, like, how dare they? You know, I am in this place of unhappiness, and I cannot be happy until they've paid for what they've done, or people know what they have done, or until this is justice is served. And it, again, that's that hot rock. I'll show you. Ow, 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 ow. Meanwhile, you're in suffering. To just go instead, regardless of all of that, can I get myself happy? Can I give myself the gift of joy in this moment, letting go of any story that comes into my now that makes me suffer? Any feeling of comparing, oh, I should have been, this should have been different. I should have had this opportunity. They took it away from me. Okay. How long do you want to fight that? How long do you want that unhappiness? You can have it as long as you want. On the other side of letting go, I got another question this week from someone who is struggling with the loss of a loved one. And they wanted to know, how do I let go of the pain? How do I let go of missing them? How do I let go of all those thoughts of, now they're never going to be at my graduation? All of that. How do I let go of that? The same thing in a different direction. The same thing of letting go of the story. Because it's the story, it's not the circumstance. My grandpa, while he was alive, I spent one afternoon a week with him. Sometimes more, but one afternoon a week. A few hours out of an entire week. When I wasn't with him, he was not here. All I had of him was thoughts about him, memories, and, you know, a lot of video. What is different about those Thursday afternoons when Grandpa was at his house and I was at mine while he was alive, and a Thursday afternoon now when his body is no longer physically here in this world, and I am? In both of those situations, I have the ability to be comforted by his memories, by my thoughts, by video. Or I can create some crazy story. Even when he's alive, I could have been, oh my gosh, he's so old, he's gonna die soon, and when he's not here, he's gonna miss my graduation. Or I can go, oh man, he taught me so much. He's such a the memories are going to be with me ever. If I ever have kids, I'm going to be able to teach them things he taught me. I know he'd be so proud of me. It's letting go of the story. The suffering is always the story that you wish things were different. The letting go, as Jacob liked to say, it's not letting go that's so hard. It's stopping picking things back up. It's stopping retelling the story that makes you unhappy. And the way you do it is you start recognizing it. What story am I telling? Am I unhappy? Well, why is what are the thoughts that are making me unhappy? And then if you can't immediately go, oh gosh, let go to Byron Katie's The Work. Four questions. Ask four questions on paper, analyze those beliefs, and work through them, and realize, oh my gosh, this is a thought that has caused me so much pain, that is defining who I am, that is defining my relationships, that is defining the degree of joy and happiness in my life. When, if I can work through it, the circumstances stay the exact same, and I simply am able to see the joy, the miracle, the amazement, the perfection of everything that has happened, or pay no attention to those that cause you discomfort or pain. I know that you know, I haven't lost a ton of people in my life, and so I go back to my grandpa as an example, and I recognize that dying at 94 is not tragic. There's no sense of unfairness in that, and I know that I was able to spend the last few years of his life, you know, once a week with him, and so I have all this, there's no this feeling of like, oh, I wish I would have said this or done this. But I'm still able to use him as an example of someone who is not here physically, but by training my mind and being disciplined about how and when I bring in thoughts of him, he's a source of total joy for me. I can think about, in fact, in a lot of ways, he's a stronger presence in my life now than he was when he was alive. I sometimes will watch videos, and it's embarrassing to myself because I see myself interacting with my grandpa, and we're doing like a Hug Nation broadcast, and he's saying something, and I am trying to get the broadcast to go in a certain direction, or trying to get towards Hug Nation, the hug, or I'm trying to make a point, and I think, you know, because of where my mind was at that moment, I think he's kind of off, not quite focused, and years later, I'm like, oh, I wish I could have just let him talk more, and because I didn't get what he was saying. I do now. And things about myself that I notice now, oh my gosh, that's a lot like him. And so it's finding those places of bringing the memory into the now. And then it hardly matters if it's someone who's alive that is not here physically, or if it's someone that's dead that's not here physically. In both cases, it's the exact same process of learning to discipline your thoughts, learning to be present, and then have control over the thoughts that you bring into the now. Meditation is the reason why you practice that, I believe. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. The one that is most important to me in my path right now is for that discipline of thought. When you can practice being mindfulness in this moment, then you choose. Ah. Nephew smiling laughter. Choose. Grandpa playing with us his digital camera and giggling. My dad's voice after the TEDx talk telling me he was proud. Now my dad is alive, but he's in his 70s. And I hope that I can continue this practice so that no matter where his consciousness is, whether on this plane or rejoined to the infinite one or whatever he might believe that process entails, that I still have the ability, the choice, to govern how I see things, what I perceive, fills my mind. That's why we meet here once a week, to practice that. To let go of all the stories that are causing us suffering, refocus on the ones that bring us joy and remind us who our true selves are, recalibrate with others that are doing the same thing. Kind of like, you know, it's scrimmage. Life is the game. This is practice. So we go out and, okay, remember, Wear your pads. Watch out for the news. It's coming. It's getting really bad this week. They got a really strong left forward. Got atomic gun. I mean, not atomic. Automatic weapons. And there's a big, real harsh story about that that's going to come in strong. So remember when the talk about what death and destruction gets too heavy, remember to snap back into your reality of the now and your perfection and the love in your life and your duty to yourself as being a vessel of love and light and all that you do when you do that in the world and the powerful impact that you have on the world when you do that. Okay, all right, go, ready, on two, one, two, love. All right, let's have a hug. And as you embrace your body, no matter how many of your fingers work, take that opportunity of any ailment to recognize how much is going right as my nose sniffles, as my eye is crusting up, as my finger is all tweaked. That's three things in the countless systems and places and parts and glands and ducts that are just working perfectly and have been for 41 years. Takes no thought from me. Takes minimal upkeep. Takes a little bit of flossing. Okay, that's a lie, I don't floss. Takes a little bit of brushing. Some inputting of food, real food. The occasional use of the body, a walk around the block. And then it's just miracle factory constantly. So when a couple things break down in the factory, instead of going to that place of, which my mind wants to do, instead going, wow. Wow, look how much is working. And look, here's the thing. I fell back on my finger, tweaked it to a point where it looked like, didn't look like a finger anymore. And there's a good chance it may be back to 100%. That blows my mind. It's regeneration. It's the physical world. I don't even generally think of it that way. I think of this cause and effect, you know, if I throw a rock through a windshield, broken windshield, bummer. Throw a rock at my finger, internally, it's got the means to heal itself. Just leave it alone. I don't have to think about it. In fact, probably best not to. Wow. And so much is going on without any thought. So when the frustrations happen, whether it's with the body or with someone in your life, whether it's a relationship, let go of the thoughts of what is wrong and try to use that as an opportunity to remember how much is right, how much connection you have in your life, how much love you do have in your life, how alike we are, how much when someone is at odds with us, so much it is because of their fears, their insecurities, their darkness, and forgive them for that. Not even from a place of, I'm in this righteous place, I forgive you, but in a place of, I don't want to hold on to any burning hot coals anymore. I want the freedom to be total joy and love. I forgive you so that I no longer have to waste any of my brain cycles or any of my brain storage on the wrongs and against me. I can use all of my thoughts on love and light and connection and joy. So forgive ourselves when we get caught up in it and forgive them. Let's just take three breaths as a single organism on this planet. Breathing in this precious air that has been shared by all the creatures of all time. Inhale. on behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the Love Warriors, thank you. I love you. Happy Hug Nation.